Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 170. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
And Fozzie.
He's drunk. Don't mind him.
Not drunk.
And Jeff.
Winter is coming.
Two sips of beer.
Now, you don't even watch Game of Thrones. You can't use that fucking quote.
I've seen it.
You have not?
Oh, Lord.
That's all I needed to see.
All right, this has become a TV show podcast.
You didn't like it?
I saw season one. I liked it.
He's a hipster. He doesn't like anything besides Breaking Bad and Mad Men. Deal with it.
I like Sons of Anarchy. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Need to catch up on that. Like,
all right, Napo, I'm coming towards you.
By starting on episode one.
That's good, because the cops are coming towards me.
I don't know. Jeff, what have you been up to this week?
Beat GTA.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
Honestly, underwhelming.
Like, the ending? You just... Like,
yeah.
The way the story wraps up?
Yeah, like, compared to, like, I don't know, the last few Rockstar games, like, I thought, you know, Red Dead Redemption and L.A. Noire were pretty damn satisfying.
I think they're kind of handcuffed by the fact that they can't really, like, kill off the characters to have that whole Rockstar thing going on, the Grand Theft Auto thing going on when the story's over?
I mean, I don't know. Like, I started to realize this, like, halfway through the game, and maybe I should have realized it before I even started playing the game, is, like, Grand Theft Auto is not a crime drama. It's, like, an action comedy or something. Like,
but it,
like,
yeah,
it's not a drama.
It's satirical in a lot of ways.
Like, yeah. It's a straight comedy, and then, like, if you really think about it, like, they could have gone so many dark places with, like, the history between the two characters and everything, and it's just kind of, like, this really basic ending that, like, it's just like, okay, whatever, great. But I will say, like, the last few missions were fun, you know? Like, the last heist is very, very cool, and then, like, the wrap-up. Yeah, we were talking about this last week. There's, like, stuff after the end or whatever. There's, like, a little wrap-up mission at the end. It's pretty good. But then, like, you get this, like, cuts, and you're just like, what the fuck? Like, I expected so much more out of, like, I don't know. I expected more out of the story than I guess I got. I'm not saying the game's bad in any way. I thought it was, like, an amazing game. But.
Well, I mean, I really think that the story, expectations story-wise for this game are a little too high. Like, GTA is less about playing through a story than it is about just doing whatever the heck you want in a world.
I guess. I mean, I went in with high expectations based off of, like, the things that Rockstar has done this generation. And I think, like, you know, GTA 4 even took its story more seriously than this was. This is just, like, a fun action movie.
And I think Rockstar got a lot of backlash
for
that.
I think that's 4's biggest issue, though, is that it did take itself maybe a little too seriously, actually. And, a lot of people thought it lost the fun of, you know, GTA 3, Vice City, and San Andreas.
Yeah, but I don't blame that on the story, though. Like, I thought the story was one of its strengths. Like, I mean, I get what you're saying 100%. And, like, the fact that this one is more silly and goofy allows for more fun activities and stuff, too. But, like, I don't know. I just thought, like, they built up these three really great characters with a lot of history, and there's definitely a lot of, like, shit going on between Trevor and Michael, and it never, to me, never felt and like they resolved it in any way.
They just don't tie it up properly.
It's just like, dude, it's like the happiest ending ever. It's like, alright, guys, like, I mean, I don't want to spoil it, so, like, I'll just say, like, I thought it was, like, I was like, oh, that's it? I played through, like, 30 hours for, like, that ending? Not the, like I said, I love the game. I thought it was very, very good. I thought the story was just, it was just like a fun action movie or something, you know?
Understandable.
Other than that, I can't really do much, but yeah, I mean, it's an awesome game.
Anything else you've been up to?
Lots of, Wind Waker HD.
How's that going for you?
Awesome. Magnificent. Beautiful.
Tell us more, Hefe.
it's the same game that I played 10 years ago. But, I don't know. Just revisiting the game, it doesn't feel like it's aged that much at all. And anything, any little thing that they've added to it is for the better. Like, a lot of things that they did address complaints people had. And just playing through it again, it's not my second time, it's probably my third or fourth time playing through it. Like, I appreciate this Zelda more and more every time I play it. To where, like, I used to hate this one. Not hate it, but I used to think one of its shortcomings is that it was too short. And now I'm, like, not so sure. I'm like, it's kind of short for a Zelda game, but this is the one Zelda game where I think that the overworld is so fun to explore that I don't care that there's not as many temples. Other than that, I don't know. You'll hear more thoughts in my review, I guess. But get it. If you have a Wii U, get it. Buy a Wii U, get it. The bundle.
I don't know. I saw the Zelda bundle. That controller's ugly.
Is it?
Yeah, it's black with, like, basically, like, gold stenciling or gold stickers on it, like Zelda stickers. It's kind of ugly.
Did you see the XL that they're coming out with?
No.
There's a Zelda XL that they're coming out with, only confirmed for Europe so far.
For, the new Zelda on 3DS. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's pretty sexy, and if they release it here, I'll probably buy it, because I want an XL anyways, you know.
You need to get that shit.
Yeah. I need 3DS.
Anything else? Really? Like, I like the tiny 3DS that fits in my pocket.
Yeah, I mean, see, like, I don't think I would sell the one I have, honestly.
No.
Just want to have that option for both, you know? But, just to experience, like, a game, like, say, a new Zelda, I'd rather have it on the biggest screen I can.
Right, right. Fair enough.
You know, Animal Crossing, don't care. Fine, it works perfect, but I don't know. I want it. Bring it here for $200, I'm in.
Playing anything else?
No, nothing. Not even GTA Online yet.
That's too bad, because GTA Online is fun.
Yeah, but I don't think it's as good as exploring the seas of Wind Waker.
That you've explored, years ago?
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, if you had gotten it on 360, you could explore Los Santos with us. But
dang. But since you chose to get it on that inferior system...
I fucked up.
You did.
Whatever. Whatever, man! I don't even have my 360 hooked up, dude. Like, it's in a box.
That's a shame.
That's a huge mistake.
Canceled my fucking Xbox Live.
Well,
it's good.
Alright. I'm almost there, Nico, I think. Oh, there you are.
Fozzie, what have you been up to this week?
Pokemon.
Tell us about the Pokemons. Which one did you get?
Why? Because I'm a fucking rock star.
That's the one I got.
You should drive because my car has been destroyed.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I'm one of those fellows who played the first one, like, religiously. I don't think I caught all 151, but, like, I put a pretty serious end to it. I definitely beat the game. But, you know, all the Pokemon since then I've really gotten into, just cause it didn't really appeal to me. Just too many damn Pokemon too nowadays. Like, and a lot of them just do the same thing that, like, the original 151 did.
Wait, was the original just called Pokemon?
No, it was Red and Blue. So, okay. Yeah. So, I mean, this one though is I think it's a lot more fun. There's a couple things in it that they've kind of streamlined. For example, in the other Pokemon, you would have to do kind of like if you wanted someone to level up in your party, for example, they would have to be in that battle, no matter what. whether you put them in there just for a second or if you actually beat the air Pokemon with it.
Right.
But this one, relatively early on, you get something called an EXP share, which means that everyone in your party gets a little bit of the pie. So everyone gets to level up a little bit, which is really nice. So, like, if you have, like a really low-level Pokemon and you want to level them up, you don't even need to really bring them out into the battle. You can kind of just keep them there. So, and I always found those to be really tedious and really just, you feel like you're grinding, and it's just like, it's one of those things that then, one of the worst aspects of the other Pokemons that I think really is a huge benefit. Let me think, what else have they done? From what I've played, I've really been addicted so far to it. I don't really know what else to say, like, compared to the other ones, but it's pretty much, it's Pokemon, you know, like, that's the thing, is it's pretty tried and true as far as the formula they have for it. If you see the other ones, you're going to be able to, like, kind of, like, pretty much fit right in.
It's a turn-based JRPG combat. I like the fact that you're saying it's not as grindy, because I tried to get into, what was it, Heart Gold came out like 4 or 5 years ago. I tried to play that, and I had, I don't get it. This is what everybody hates about, like, Japanese role-playing games. it's the epitome of that. It's Grindfest and Collectathons, so it's nice that you're saying that it's not grindy like that. I haven't gotten very far into the game, so it's pretty though.
Okay, this is kind of spoilerish, but have you gone to the second town yet?
I left my house, got my starter, and then like you go up into the next like area, and that's like where you fight your first battle, and then I stop there. So.
Oh, you haven't played it. So you haven't played much.
Yeah, I mean, I caught all the Pokemon in that area. That was about
it. Well, it's not, like, really a spoiler. I don't really... Well, do you mind if I tell you? Second town pretty early on. So if anyone's playing or hasn't played it yet and you don't want this to, like, kind of spoil, you just mute it for a second. But you get the original starter Pokemon. You get your pick. Like, in the second town.
Oh, so you get the one you started with, so, like, I have, like, the frog dude, and you get another starter.
Exactly. You get the original one. So you can choose between Charmander, Squirtle, or Bulbasaur.
Okay.
Which I really thought was cool, and I actually restarted the whole fucking game, because first off, I didn't like the fire one that much regardless, so I switched to the Ninja Frog.
Yeah, Frog's pretty cool.
That's pretty fucking kick-ass. Because I always like my fire starters. And then, and it wasn't until I got to the second town, I'm like, oh fuck, I can pick Charmander, but I didn't want two fire starters. So I restarted the game, I kinda just went through everything. So now I have a water starter, and then also Charmander too. Who's now, Charmeleon, I think is. Yeah. So. But yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. And again, like, there's just little things like that that kind of, it just kind of brings you back to the original. I think that this is the Pokemon that if you played the original, which was like almost like 15 years ago or over 15 years ago, I think you're going to like it again. Like this is again, it's made for more adults where we don't have time to grind out every single Pokemon. It's pretty fluid and it does feel a little bit easier at times because all your guys are pretty much evenly leveled, but you know, at the same time, it's just, I feel it's a lot more fun than, other Pokemons in the past. So, I don't know. I'm really enjoying it so far, though, so I can't complain.
Anything else you've been playing, or?
We're GTA. Trying to play GTA Online right now. Yeah, I just got dropped from your game.
Oh, you dropped? Okay.
I didn't drop intentionally. I was dropped.
Yeah, no, I gotcha. Also, I've been making some headway into GTA. I'm loving the story missions. It's amazing just how much variety there is in the game. It's just, I mean, it's not a perfect game by any means, but the story missions are a lot of fun. Like, almost none of the stories feel the same thing. Oh, Jesus, I got rocked. So, besides that, I picked up Beyond Two Souls. Really nervous about this game. I can see myself going, like, one or two ways. Because I do like, you know, I liked Indigo Prophecy, and Heavy Rain did have its good moments. But I'm afraid that it's going to kind of suffer from the things that I didn't like about Heavy Rain. So, we'll see. People liked it. Some people didn't like it. So it's kind of just a crapshoot.
I have things to say about that game.
Okay.
Say things about that game.
That game's weird. So, the story is completely fragmented. You play as, I think her name's Jody. I keep wanting to call her Ellie because she looks exactly like Ellie from The Last of Us, which makes sense, being as both modeled off of Ellen Page, no matter what Naughty Dog wants to say. I mean, they look exactly the same in this game at certain moments. But you'll play as Jody in, like, these different aspects of her life. So, like, one minute you could be a CIA operative in a Middle Eastern embassy on a mission for the CIA. And then the next mission you could be a 5-year-old version of Jody dealing with, like, learning to deal with the entity that's attached to her. Or, like, it fast forwards to you're an outlaw on the run. Like, it's all over the place, and I don't see how it is tying together, which is slight bit problematic.
Yeah.
But each of these, like, little vignettes, though, is actually pretty cool. Like, it gives you this interesting insight into Jody's character, and I don't know exactly if any of the choices make any sort of difference on the end game. Like, in Heavy Rain, like, a character could die and the game would continue on. This just kind of seems like it pushes through. Like, it doesn't matter if a character dies, you only play as Jody, and you know from the get-go that she doesn't die in any of these flashbacks because of where the game starts at.
As far as you know.
I guess.
I mean, they could come up with some.
I mean, there could be some, like, weird, like, mystical bullshit, I guess, that, like, Indigo Prophecy attachment to it, so. But I'm not seeing that as of yet. But each one of them, like, taken individually is really cool. There's this one where you're homeless. It's after you're on the run and she's homeless, and you wake up, like, you're freezing to death, and you pass out, like, by this other homeless guy who takes you back to his, like, little commune area, and you make friends with these other homeless people, and you have to beg at one point. Like, you go out trying to collect money, and you're sitting on the street, like, just begging for money. And then it gives you other options for how to get money. So, like, you're walking along, and Aiden, who is your entity, like, you can break into the ATM machine and get money that way. Or you can break into the, like, the newspaper stand. Like, you can pop the change out that's in there. Or this guy propositions you as you walk by a diner. And for, like, $10, you can go around the back of the building and I assume something happens there.
You chose not to do that, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't steal the money from the ATM or take the money from the paper machine. It's like you get into this habit, and I mean, Jeff and Fozzie probably know as well, like, from playing Lee in The Walking Dead, like, you play that character kind of how you feel that, you know, he should be played, or in The Walking Dead. Like, you played it how, like, you would, if you were in that sort of situation. So, Like, my version of Ellie is very, version of Jody is very honest, and, she has, like, this kind of moral standard she won't cross. But then the game does weird things where it makes you cross, like, it makes you do things that I don't think she would do, like...
Your Ellie would never do.
Right, like she uses Aiden to break out of a SWAT man and kill some people. It's like, my Jody wouldn't do that. Like, she would have found another way to do it. And this game, like, for the most part, there's no fail states. Although I did run into one, which was weird, because Heavy Rain didn't have fail states, where it would load you back into a previous checkpoint. I totally messed up riding this motorcycle, and it loaded me back to earlier in the game, so I could redo that segment, which I found a little weird. The combat in it's actually pretty cool. It's all contextual button presses, but it's QuickTime events, except there are no button prompts on the screen for these QuickTime events. It trains you pretty early on how to approach these events, it's all done by on-screen kind of cues, but not like showing which way they want you to press a button, which button they want you to press. It trains you that, like, if Ellie's arm is going to the left, you press to the left, or Jody or whatever the fuck her name is. And her arm is going to the right, you press to the right. And if she needs to go forward, you press up. Or if she needs to duck, you press down. And you just kind of get this feel for how everything goes, which actually makes, like, as far as game mechanics for this type of, it makes the action more engaging than, say, something like Heavy Rain, where it was like, tap on X until the box fills up. And then now tap on R1 until the box fills up. And make your fingers into a pretzel. So I'm enjoying that. Like, I think that Quantic Dream kind of has advanced with their mechanics. It's just that, and maybe it's just an artistic choice, but I'm not seeing how this story is tying together or how it is working. It's kind of strange the way you jump all around in these different moments of her life. So, yeah, that's beyond. Play it, Fozzie. Yeah. Let us know.
Yeah.
Let us know if you were.
How long is it, like 8 hours?
I'm about 7 hours in, and I have about 2/3 of the way. There's 21 missions, and I'm on mission like 15 or 16.
Do they get shorter as?
Some of them are really, like, there's one that I played tonight that was like an hour and 40 minutes long.
Wow.
I played for 2 hours and I beat 3 missions. One of them was all of, like, 2.5 minutes, where it was really just a conversation. And another one was a small intro scene, and then a conversation, and then you packing up your room and picking the things that you want to bring with you on this trip you have to take. And so it's like you kind of look at these items throughout the room, and you're deciding whether or not your version of Jody would be sentimental and take that, or if she'd leave it all behind. So yeah, the missions are all over the place in terms of time frame. The big meaty ones, like the homeless one was a nice long section. There's one where you're in the desert. That's a nice long chunk of section, and those actually have the, obviously with that much, you know, time to play through them, the best storytelling, and it's taken individually, they're really good. I just don't know how they tie together.
Yeah, I hear the writing's not great.
It's okay. I wonder if people are complaining about the writing not being great because of the way the story is just so fragmented. And the way it's presented, because I think the acting is actually pretty good, which is it's a big improvement over Heavy Rain. But obviously, you have like people like Ellen Page and Willem Dafoe like actually doing the acting for this. So,
All right. Well, I have a second question for you. Do you feel that because this is hailed as like an interactive story, do you think that maybe the writing is not as bad as people think, but maybe because they're supposed to take it a little bit more highly? That, or is it just not that great in general?
I mean, I think the way David Cage promotes his stuff, and the way the game looks also, I think if you were to take this same story and put it, you know, with visuals that aren't quite as high end as what Quantic Dream does, because they do some great things visually, in their games. Like, they are normally top tier technical graphical pieces. I think because of that, people are kind of expecting maybe a higher degree of quality. I don't think it's any worse than a lot of the game writing that is out there. And maybe that's the problem, is, you know, people kind of look at it and go, well, this looks like a movie. The writing should be on par.
Their games are basically interactive stories, though, you know?
Right.
Like, there's not a lot of gameplay to it.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that because of that, are they hurt because of that?
I don't know.
Well, if you don't deliver a good story, then what's the point? You know,
it should be
better than other game stories.
I feel like Walking Dead did a pretty good job. Oh.
Yeah, I thought
so
too.
Boo.
But in what way? Like, in what way did The Walking Dead...
I just said, like, I felt compelled with the character. Like, I enjoyed the characters.
If that's what The Walking Dead did well, was their characters. Beyond Two Souls does a good job in having you empathize with Jodie and care about her as a character.
Okay.
And care about how she wants to go forward. The structure of that narrative, though, being disjointed, I think might be what is throwing people off. And I still don't know where it's going. Like, I enjoy these segments, these fragments of Jodie's life, but as far as an overall piece, I don't know how I actually feel about it.
Yeah.
Because taken individually, it's really cool. Like the homeless mission, awesome. The Navajo mission I just did, great. But taken as a whole, as an entire game, as an entire experience, it's weird. Mm-hmm. And less engaging than, say, something that's more linear, like The Walking Dead was.
I see. All right. Fair enough. Fair point.
I mean, you will know at some point what you thought of the story. It's not clear yet.
Right. I mean, maybe the ending pays off. Like,
yeah.
I mean, and that, in any sort of nonlinear storytelling, like, it's the same with, like, something like Memento.
That's a bastard.
Memento is a really cool movie, but if that ending didn't work, the rest of the movie is less engaging.
That's a great movie.
And so the ending for this really needs to tie everything together and give you a reason for having done those 20 previous missions. I'm not there yet. I don't know.
Yeah.
Shit, cops are on me. I killed Napo. Napo, where are you?
I'm in heaven, apparently.
Foz, are you playing anything else?
No, not really. Seriously, like, I mean, I don't have much time as much as I used to. But, I mean, I put a serious dent into Pokemon. I played about 8 hours this week.
That's a good amount of time.
Yeah. But the badges, man, they're like, I've only ran into, I think I have two of them right now. I don't understand. My guys are already pretty leveled up. They're like in their like 30s, so whatever. I guess I'll get a lot more progressing, but yeah, that's about it though.
Tony, what have you been up to?
Oh, you know, I've been playing some Ageod's American Civil War 2.
Oh boy.
Because I know Jeff loves games like that.
Mm-hmm. It's time for a cigarette.
So what exactly is this title?
It's a strategy game. It's basically the entirety of the Civil War. It's turn-based. It's actually kind of cool the way it works. You you give your units orders, and the enemy army does the same thing at the same time. And then the orders are all carried out simultaneously.
Okay.
So instead of like it's turn-based, but both players move at the same time. Which is a really cool effect. And like you have to plan out. So you plan out all the moves for your entire army. Everything that's going to happen. You move supply around the map to make sure units have ammunition, that kind of stuff.
Right.
And then you watch it happen. And part of the fun is that your commanders won't always do exactly how they're ordered to do things.
Okay.
So you're kind of watching them react to a situation that's more dynamic than you have control over. So it's basically like you're the commander in chief of a war effort. You're giving your units orders to move into places. You don't know if those orders will be actually followed. You don't know what the enemy's doing, and it's just there's a lot of uncertainty, and it's just handled in a really cool way. I will say though, it's very, 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 very hardcore. The basic tutorial took me 45 minutes.
Okay.
And it didn't mention like a whole bunch of stuff that is really important to the game. Pretty much hardcore only.
So Hefe, when you get back,
Hefe would love this game. This is meant for him.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Would it be something I'd be interested in? No, I do enjoy my strategy games.
I mean, you might want to give it a look over. There are some other games by the same developer. I don't know if the Civil War is that interesting to you, but they've moved it to other eras. So there's like the Roman Civil War and some other stuff.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Oh shit. Big ass jump.
Alright. Yeah, it's a cool game. I look forward to playing more of it.
Shit. Interesting.
Jeff looks forward to you talking about it more.
Yeah.
you've been playing anything else?
Lots of GTA, but we've already talked about that.
So. Yeah, we've talked about GTA quite a bit. I played some GTA as well, just not 5. I finished The Ballad of Gay Tony and episodes from Liberty City. That was pretty cool. There's a whole lot more helicopter flying in that game than I enjoy, but
the helicopter flying is terrible.
Yeah, and they make you fly like 20% of that game. 20% of that game's missions are in helicopters. At any time you have to do combat in one, it kind of sucks. But I'm not a fan of the helicopters. Not a fan of flying in GTA 5 either. So.
No, I have never liked flying in these games.
Yeah.
They just, the controls, like, everything else controls like a dream, but then you try to fly something, you're like, oh my god, I hate this.
Yeah, oh, it's like all over the place. And what was that, Fozzie?
Sorry, nothing.
No.
I'll just say, I like the controls as far as for motorcycling. I think they've just improved, so it's a good thing.
I did like, you know, kind of how the episodes from Liberty City, how the storylines kind of intertwined with the main story of GTA 4. Not all the way through, but just enough. Less so in The Ballad of Gay Tony. There's just a couple missions actually that kind of work, but.
Hurry. Oh, never mind. Go.
And I like the tie that GTA 5 has back to GTA 4. I believe the first time you meet Trevor, he kills the main character of Lost and Damned.
Yes, he does. It's awesome.
Thomas's head. And actually, when you first meet Trevor, he's actually banging that dude's girlfriend, who is in Lost and Damned as well. And she's a junkie there also. I don't know if there's any ties to Gay Tony, but I wouldn't be surprised if, in some respect, like, you know, a mention of him pops up somewhere.
I don't remember Tony popping up, but some of the other characters popping.
Yeah.
I did hear, I was listening to the radio, and Brucey from GTA 4 is like a huge salesman of his bull shark testosterone. It's great.
I remember Brucey.
Brucey's brother is hysterical. And I love how Luis refers to him as a tiny golden turd. they had some pretty cool missions in Gay Tony, so. Yep, done with that though, so that's deleted off of my hard drive. Probably never to be played again, so.
No!
But I did play two other PC games this past weekend. One was Doorways, which was an Argentinian horror game in the vein of like the Amnesia type games. That game wasn't very good. In fact, it was really weird. I wasn't sure why I was doing anything outside of, like, they kind of give you this really quick introduction at the beginning of each stage saying you're tracking down a killer, except none of the environments make any sense. Like, at one point you are traveling through a haunted forest where you have to have a torch that burns out in about 5 seconds. In another part of that, you are traversing through like a trap infested castle, and then you're in like a haunted house type area where there's all these torture devices in the basement. There's really no monsters outside of these ghosts of in the dark, and it's only in the first section of the game. In the second section of the game, it all takes place in a museum, and there's this weird boss fight at the end.
Jesus.
Where it's trying to kill you, and it's very reminiscent of like an old, like, you know, PlayStation 2 type game where it's like, oh, you figure out exactly how he attacks you, and you need him to bust the pillars so that everything falls on his head.
Let's get this thing repaired.
Not
Sorry.
Very good. the other game I played was called Knock Knock.
Knock Knock.
Yeah.
Who's there? I saw the giant bomb for that.
That game is, interesting. A 2D side scroller. Not a platformer, but a puzzle type game, I guess, in a way, where you're repairing this house that constantly changes between your dream world, reality, and then as days go on, the house morphs into different types of levels. And at first it did this great job of kind of creating tension and, you know, making you feel a sense of unease, which is pretty impressive for a, you know, 2D cartoony looking game. But then you kind of learn the gimmick of it all, and it falls apart a little bit towards the end when the sanity meter comes on the screen and it doesn't actually tell you what it's for. Until you get to the end of the game where, you just keep failing as you finish the game. Like, you get this weird cutscene where the main character descends into madness, and then it says game over. Continue or go back to main menu. So I kept choosing continue because this happened a few times, and I couldn't figure out what was up with it. Until I finally got frustrated, checked the internet, the Steam forums specifically, and found out that's just the way the game is made. If your sanity meter depletes, the game is kind of over, and you have to restart the game to get the good ending, I guess. But it never actually tells you that, you know, that's the bad ending, that this is how it ends. It just keeps letting you redo it over and over again. Which was frustrating, and I hated that. So that game can go die in a fire. That's it. That's all I've been playing. So, we got any news?
Oh, there's lots of news. I guess we should start off with the bad news. Layoffs at 2K Marin, following the really bad reception
Of XCOM.
Of XCOM. It says that they've said that it's the majority of the team. It sounds like it is the entire team. The studio will no longer exist. And everyone is unemployed except for those people who are being sent to join their new San Francisco studio.
Hmm. Okay.
So.
That is a shame.
Yes, it's very sad.
Though what I played of that game I did not like, but that doesn't mean that I wish them out of jobs.
Yeah, it's just another sign, you know, if you can't make games that are instantly profitable, then...
Right, and that game had been in production forever, so I'm sure they spent large amounts of money on it to get it to market. It needed to do good.
Boo.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Let's see, what else do we have? The wonderful 101.
Yes.
September sales figures are out. Wonderful 101, not so wonderful. Apparently it sold less than 20,000 copies.
Really?
It wasn't in the top 50 of games selling that month.
Well, I mean...
15.
Not too surprised on that. I mean... I don't know, it wasn't even that good. And then, like...
I heard some people saying they really liked it, but evidently it would be one of those things where you probably really enjoyed it if you got into it, but otherwise it's weird.
It's for a niche audience to begin with, and it's on the Wii U, which is already, like, you know...
Niche.
Right.
It's a niche audience for a niche audience.
And it released, like, I was semi-interested in it, like, for a while, then they decided to release it, like, I think 2 days before GTA, like, the Sunday before GTA.
Oh, it was just an awful, awful release date.
They fucked it up, big time. But, I mean, I don't think it was ever, I don't know, you know, no matter what they did, I don't think it was gonna, you know, feel like a huge hit.
Yeah.
That said, I don't know if you saw, Tony, Wii sales are up. Or Wii U sales are up.
Here we go.
Yeah, up 200% over previous month. Yeah.
So five,
which was what before? Yeah. Like that's a great percentage. But what was the number beforehand?
Around 30,000 ish.
And that's only because of the Wind Waker, right? Are they taking that?
Well, and they're claiming it was the price drop.
Bullshit.
I think Zelda, I think you see in, like, for October, I think you see, I mean, I don't know, I don't have, like, first-hand experience anymore, but I think you see it go up even more a little bit just because of the Zelda bundle and, you know, crazy Zelda fans. I don't think it's going to, like, light the world on fire anytime soon, but it's a good thing. It's moving in the right direction.
I still feel that the Wii U can kind of regain ground, especially, you know, like, you look at all the delays with the next-gen consoles. You know, I mean, it's not looking too, I guess there's not that great game though. But the thing is that there's always that guaranteed games, like, you know, the franchises that they do have. It's always. So.
Well, that's at least why I get Nintendo systems. Like, I know I'll get fucking,
well,
Mario Kart,
I mean, yeah.
Zelda.
Well, I mean, you gotta look at it, like, coming as of, what's it, the 15th, that's when the, no, not the 15th, the 22nd, when the Xbox One comes out, that's the same day that, Super Mario 3D World releases, which could very well be another great Mario game, so.
See you, Napo.
Wait, what just happened? Why did you kill me?
Because we're not on the same team, I'm trying to steal the ads.
I don't understand why this is happening. Well, I guess we gotta talk about the delays though now, right?
Yeah.
Watch
Dogs
yeah,
being
because... pushed.
Exactly. That was like, to me, that was like the game to get for next gen, even though it was, you know, on current gen. Like, if I got a PS4, I'd get a Watch Dogs with it. Now, you just kinda have to get Wii U and Mario.
That's regrettable.
Yeah, Watch Dogs gone. And, Drive Club too, right?
Yes, although Drive Club did not technically have a release date.
The crew got, but Drive Club, was supposed to be, I mean, it's been advertised on the PS, and store as going to be available with the PS4, kind of. Like, they were implying it would be ready at launch. That game, at least the gimped version of that game at launch.
So both those racing games got delayed?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, Need for Speed Rivals is, I guess that one kind of arcade racer, and, Forza 4 on Xbox One.
Shit.
Yeah, there's no reason to get these consoles anymore. It's dumb.
Come on, Rise. Get some Rise, baby.
Man.
Rise is not gonna be good.
I wouldn't be so sure of that.
I'm pretty sure.
Pretty sure
dude,
what?
Wasn't it a Kinect game?
Well, it was. Like,
when they originally announced it, like, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, odds of it being anything special, pretty slim.
I don't know. It's not a Kinect game anymore, though.
It'll be at best, like, okay for a launch game.
All right.
You know?
I don't know. I thought it looked cool, but...
It looked like, when they showed it at E3, it looked kind of like a God of War type game.
Right, but with more strategy involved, because you could kind of, like, command your troops. On the battlefield, so... I don't know. I mean... We haven't played it yet, so. Dead Rising 3, from what I heard, sounds like it's shaping up to be really good. They improved the frame rate on it, so it's now holding at a consistent 30, and apparently that game has, like, the goofiness that you want from Dead Rising.
That is the only one, honestly, for me. Like, I would almost have to go Xbox One at this point.
The PS4's launch lineup is... They got hurt the most from Watch Dogs disappearing.
Now, I this is something I saw on a tweet, so like I didn't research it or anything. But word is that
legit.
Watch Dogs, it got delayed because it sucked. Like, it wasn't up to quality standards or something, was like the tweet I saw.
I could see that. I could see that game being a huge disappointment.
That's very disappointing if true.
That's not fully surprising to me, though, because I heard some weird things about that game over, like, since E3. Like, people saying the voice acting was atrocious in it, and that the animations were janky.
Looks so weird, because the demo... Remember the demo they showed off? Like, what was it? Was it this year or last year?
No, it was 2 years ago.
When they showed that off, like, oh my god.
The one where he walks into the nightclub and then he goes out and there's like a shootout by the... That was 2 years ago.
It looked top notch.
Yeah, that wasn't this year.
Yeah. It looked good.
Yeah, this year they showed him kind of... he was like doing some like Assassin's Creed type climbing.
Like he went up on a train.
Yeah, he went on the
like
train.
Yeah,
that's what they showed this year. Which I thought looked cool, but...
Yeah, like, everything I've seen in that game, I'm like, yes, I can't wait, and then, you know, plus it's like it's going to Chicago, whatever. But that was one of my big fall games, like, probably the only one that wasn't a Nintendo game. Now it's gone. Forever.
What Nintendo games are you excited?
Not forever, just not until after March of next year, I believe.
Yeah. But yeah. Yeah, it's kind of surprising. I mean, it always happens. There's always, every year there's like these games that like they have set dates and everything else, and it's like, yep, sorry, that's fucking spring now.
Yeah, this one was cutting close too, like a month before.
Yeah.
That is sketchy. I don't like it.
It's like exactly a month before. And they're like, well, sorry.
That's happened in the past, though, with other games. I mean, the worst one, I think, was when Alpha Protocol was supposed to come out, and it was like 5 days before the game was supposed to come out, and they delayed it 6 months.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Like, it was on, like, people were like, it's coming out, it's going to be out next week, and then they were like, no.
I did not know, like, as a, I don't know, whatever. I won.
My very favorite example of that, though, was NBA Live had a demo out. Like, it was ready to go. They had copies printed. Like, and there was demo, like, there's probably physical copies of that game that exist somewhere, you know?
Right.
But you probably don't want to play. I would love to, like, get my hands on it just to see. Not that I would be a good judge, because, like, I don't really play basketball games. Except for NBA Jam. Yeah.
NBA Street, son.
Is that EA NBA game, is that only on next-gen machines?
I think so.
Yes. The EA game is only next-gen.
Weird. Drive Club, though, kind of, that surprises me a little bit.
How hard is it to get a racing game out for launch, for fuck's sake? Ridge Racer does it every time.
Well, and
Ridge Racer,
to me, that, like, launch is the best time to release that game.
Yeah.
Because as, you know, as we get further into the cycle, like, people aren't going to care about Drive Club, because Gran Turismo will be in the works, and, like, if you're looking for racing games on the PS4, this next year you're going to have Destiny and stuff, like, Infamous, like, where are you going to put this weird driving game that kind of nobody was really excited for anyway, outside of the fact that they got it for free? Weird. Really weird. Anything else get delayed?
Just those two for now.
And South Park was delayed a couple weeks ago, right?
Wait, what?
Like a power outage or something?
South Park got delayed until December.
What, it was supposed to come out, what?
Really weird.
It was supposed to come out in November.
Honestly, I might pick that up.
You should not pick that up.
Why not?
It's an Obsidian game, but
so what?
I don't know. I really want to play it.
I heard it's so funny.
Mario
Party, dude. I heard it's got a little Mario Party flavor in it, or not Mario Party. My bad. Paper Mario.
Yeah, I was like, I hope it doesn't play like Mario Party. They've been promoting it as an RPG. It'd be really weird.
I'm sorry, my brain farted.
I mean, I hope my game's cool.
I might be down for it, even though I haven't watched the show in forever.
You know the characters. You don't need to have watched the show recently.
I saw the George Zimmerman episode they did recently. That's about it.
Was he good?
Yeah, it was pretty good. It's pretty funny.
The problem with that show is that because they're so topical sometimes, they date themselves real quickly.
That's fine, though. Like, I'm cool with that. Like, the fact that they get stuff that is so topical out so quick is pretty cool. Although, Zimmerman is a couple months old now, but still. I like that.
I feel like that just keeps them fresh, though, for the time being.
Yeah, but, like, when you go back to watch.
Right, like, I mean, they're now on, what, this is, like, season 17 or something. Like, if you go back and watch, like, some of the other ones that, like, the there's the Scientology, I guess Scientology is kind of timeless, like, that's always easy to make fun of, and fun to make fun of, but like the Terry Schiavo one, where
it's like people
I think it's funny because, like, I remember, like, that whole case and everything, and I thought that episode of the show was really well written and funny, but, like, some other people probably come in and go, I don't, what's funny about this? What's funny about Kenny being on life support and Cartman, like, wanting to kill him to get his PSP. Like, one, they wouldn't even know what a PSP is.
I don't know. I'm fine with it, though. Like, there's no other show that does that, you know?
Right.
Like, that immediate response to what's going on right now.
Outside of, like, maybe, like, Saturday Night Live.
Or, like, the news.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, the news doesn't do it, and, like, they're not doing it to make fun of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you get Jon Stewart for that.
Wait, I thought that was the news.
Yeah, yeah.
It is sort of
it's the better news.
Yeah.
You got anything else, Tony?
That was all I had. One more thing, but I can't find it.
I did have this one. Let me pull it up on my phone. But so I got this email with some random game news in it today, and I thought it was. I actually had two. So in Brazil, PlayStation 4 will cost about $1,800 to buy.
That's reasonable.
Right? whereas the Xbox One will be about $1,000 to buy there.
That's fucking insane. Yeah.
So, in Brazil, the Xbox One has an $800 price advantage. I don't want to go to Brazil.
In Brazil, Xbox buys you.
their games cost like $83 a piece there.
That's insanity.
For one game.
Well, I mean, in Brazil, you also kind of live like GTA 5. Like, it's like real life there.
Yeah, yeah.
Every day.
According to this story here, the PlayStation 3 launched in Brazil in 2010, which is weird. That's only 3 years ago. at a Brazilian real price of $1,999, or a conversion rate of $925. And the PlayStation 4 will be releasing this November, and it will cost $3,999 Brazilian reals. Or about $1,850 USD. So, don't buy your shit in Brazil.
April, bite me.
The other story I saw was a Coinstar. I don't know if you guys know what Coinstar is.
Yeah.
Go, like, jump.
These are the machines with the coins. Yeah, I have like 8 million pennies sitting on my desk right now. It's work.
You can, like, go and dump your coins in, and, like, evidently, like, I don't actually know how they work. I assume that it takes a, like, takes a percentage of whatever you dump in there.
It takes 9%.
Yeah. No, it's like a nickel. Is it 9?
It takes 9%.
So it takes 9%, or you can turn it into, like, an Amazon gift card or something, I guess at certain kiosks, and it doesn't take any of your money. It just gives you the full credit in Amazon dollars or whatever. Well, now you can turn your change into Xbox Live cash.
Fantastic.
You can dump your change in and get Xbox Live points directly from the points.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty smart.
Or gold, or you can get a gold Live memberships. So, you know, if you need that, go dump your change away.
Shit, now that I don't need quarters for laundry, I'd be down for that in a second. Just saw it.
That was what I had saved on my phone. So, we got some questions.
Yeah, I have some.
Let's hit them up.
Hey, but we need that car.
We're getting the car. We're going for the car.
I thought it was back there. All right.
I got a couple on my phone for Mr. Too Fresh. All yes. Right. Would you rather live in an up-to-date castle with plumbing and electricity, or mansion?
Castle.
What's the difference? Same fucking thing.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Mansions are up-to-date castles.
When the Huns invade, you'll wish.
Are you fucking kidding me? Hefe, god damn it.
Alright, castle.
This is...
I want a moat. Like,
You can have a mansion with a moat.
I just want whichever one has lots of.
First off,
I want a moat. I want towers with.
You get the brick, you get the fucking allure of a castle, you get a fucking dining room where you have a 20-foot long goddamn table with a crown, or with a throne. It's like,
I thought you said dining room.
Fucking even like a...
I want the
No, dining room, yeah.
What are, I'm sure there's a technical term for it. What's the technical term for like the arrow slots where they would shoot the arrows out of the towers and... Is there a technical term for that?
Sounds good to me.
Arrow slots, alright. Yeah, I want that. Like, their mansions don't have that shit.
Yeah, fucking you could build, like, fucking hot lava on unwanted guests.
Right.
Slithers, Mormon people. It's fucking Mormon
hot
people.
Lava? Wait, what?
Oh, hot oil,
but...
Is
your castle in a volcano?
Fozzie has the most awesome castle ever.
Castle's like Minecraft or something.
You got this. I'm designing it right now, Minecraft, bitches. Deal with it.
I gotta take Castle.
Yeah, sure, fine, Castle. He also asked, when was the last time you looked at porn? I don't know if that's a personal question for y'all.
if we're being honest today.
I want to say yesterday. A little jammed up over here. A little backed up.
Yeah.
Speaking of plumbing, ha ha ha.
All right, well, speaking of porn. So, I needed an image for last week's show.
Uh-huh.
And Ozzy, do your job here.
I typed in Dick Waker. Believe the shit that like, man, there are some gross people out there that have made Zelda porn. Don't go down that hole of looking for Zelda porn.
So last time you looked at porn was when you were looking for...
No, I looked at it more recently than that. That was
you don't want to get in trouble.
I don't know exactly when. It was somewhere between Friday when I saw Zelda porn and today. So,
Ozzy, shoot that bastard!
Sorry.
Don't look for Zelda porn though. Just don't do it.
My bad. All right, yeah. No Zelda porn. Oh my god, I'm shooting everyone but. Hold on.
If you can't hit him, we're like right next. Okay.
Yeah. Got it.
I was about to say, if you can't hit him from here.
Yeah, shut up. See it.
Alright, I got a better question. This comes from Hefe. The last time you watched porn, what category was it in?
Ooh.
Getting a little personal.
There are categories.
You go first. I'm nervous.
There are categories.
Porn.
What?
Chicks.
What did you say, Hefe?
Say you log on to the Pornhub.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to plug anything here. There's categories.
No, what'd you say your category?
I'm asking y'all.
Well, you go first.
I'm not offering.
Oh, well then, that's not fair. That's not fun at all.
Oh, someone has to go first. I posed the question.
What was it?
Straight
there's
porn?
Like teen, amateur...
Yeah, I think it was Ebony.
Asian, Ebony, BBW,
yeah.
gay.
I don't even know what any of these
I'm scared of it. I'm not scared.
I'm pretty sure you know what gay porn is.
Oh, yeah, I got that one.
The rest of it.
You don't understand. Okay, so you go to a fucking website, okay? And then there's categories. Like,
I understand the idea of categories, like... Why can't I just click on the picture that looks cool and watch that?
Well, what category would
like,
that be under?
Who goes and searches for, like, I'm in the mood for
midgets.
Right, midgets. I'm in the mood for midget porn. Like, who's
what are you talking about? I
go by mood, dude. Some days it's, you know, teens. Some day it's amateur. Some
have you not seen that South Park episode where, like, he types in, like, donkeys and shit? Like, everyone's seen
some
that one, right?
Donkeys.
Yeah.
Some days it's donkeys.
Sometimes I want to see a girl take a donkey.
Okay.
I don't know.
Is that on Pornhub?
No, there's no donkey kid.
If you know where to look, yeah, you get there.
I'm pretty sure you can type anything into Google with safe search off, and you come up with some nasty shit. So
yeah, it's it is the internet, gentlemen. Make no mistake.
You hear what I'm saying? Some days you're in a certain mood, right? Like some days you might be like, I want to see Ebony. I want to see what's going on.
Today I was into black chicks, so that's just how it goes, though. Let's be real here, okay? This isn't a PG goddamn podcast.
Tony still never answered the original question. Either
what original question? I don't even remember. It's been that long.
Last time you viewed porn. Was it in your 20s?
Oh god, no, it's not even that.
Well, at least we're whittling it down.
We got it within a few years.
No, see, I've only been 30 for a year now, so.
We got it within a year, alright. There we go. Sometime within the last year.
Yeah, there it is.
And there probably was not a category attached to it.
Oh, there's categories. It's always category.
Yeah, there's categories. It's not me. Send me in.
I'll tag it with category. God damn it. Alright, anyways, since you guys want to be all coy about it.
This guy looks really happy even though we returned a car with the door missing and like a bunch of bullet holes.
It's good. Let's go.
I have another question from Mr. Too Fresh. He says, what's your favorite Stephen King story? And there's a second part to it, but I guess we'll start with the first part. Favorite Stephen King story?
I don't know. I saw Carrie last night. It was really good.
The new
one?
You
saw the new one?
No. I saw the old one.
Did the old one good?
No shit. Welcome to 1976, Fozzie.
John Travolta was in it. Oh, my goodness. Scared me.
Pretty young, yeah. That might have been his first role.
I think it was, because, like, yeah.
My favorite. My favorite, like, I go with my favorite as of right now it's a short story called The Good Marriage. It's in a collection.
Napo, which one are you picking?
I think it's called Full Dark, No Stars. But yeah, the story's called The Good Marriage.
Do free mode. It's called what? Called Marriage?
It's called A Good Marriage.
Oh.
It's just like the favorite one I've read, you know, in the last couple of years.
I'm not like a huge Stephen King novel reader.
Well, he's seen a lot of his movies.
Movie is really good. I've enjoyed pretty much every single movie that I've seen of his, so.
If I had to go movie, I'd probably go Stand By Me.
Mm.
Chris?
Depends. If we're going, like, overall, I think my favorite book by him is The Drawing of the Three.
Well, if we're going all time, I guess he was asking all time, but, like, A Good Marriage just sticks out to me. All time, for me, is The Talisman.
I really like The Drawing of the Three, but if I had to pull something that's not from The Dark Tower, I'd say The Long Walk.
I love that one. That's a good one.
Yeah, creepy book. Like, not scary, but, like, just...
Like, I forgot. I think the rules were you drop below 4 miles per hour walking.
Yeah, that would kill you.
And if you did, they killed you, and they would... I forgot. Like, they gave you, like, a couple warnings, right?
Yeah.
And then, but if you went under 4 miles per hour for, like, under a minute for, like, 3 times, like, third strike, you're out or some shit like that, right?
Yep.
And, like, the last person walking got, I don't know, like, they got, like, a money prize, right? As well as being able to live.
Basically got taken care of for the rest of their life. Like, they would have, like, they wouldn't want for anything at that point. Like, you won the long walk, so.
Kind of reminds me of The Running Man a little bit, but I like The Long Walk more. I think The Long Walk was very fun.
I love The Running Man, the movie.
Yeah, me too. It's great.
It's so cheesy, but...
But yeah, I don't know. I guess we covered that. Tony, are you into Stephen King at all, or no?
I've read a couple books, not enough to like give a really informed opinion.
I've read a lot of them, but...
The Stand. Did you read The Stand, Tony?
No.
That's really long, so...
Yeah. He's got a lot of those. Some of them are good. I say Stephen King is better.
I also really like Desperation.
I love that one. That was another one I really enjoyed when I read it. The opening of that book, and then the whole way... Like, the kid got out, or it was the kid that was in the jail, right?
Believe so.
I remember, like, somebody, they used, like, soap to, like, slip through the fucking, the cell fucking bars. And it was, like, a long, drawn-out thing.
Damn it, Fozzie, anyway. Your session is full.
What else we got?
I got one from Earl.
Okay.
Earl!
Who do you think gets writing for games in the industry, as in games and not the media?
What does that mean?
What?
I don't know what he means by that, honestly, not to, like, you know, give him shit, but I really don't get what he means, games and not the media. What does that mean?
Oh, wait, repeat that question.
Who do you think gets writing for games in the industry, as in games and not the media?
Oh my god, I don't know. Let me check his Twitter feed.
Gotta do some research to figure this one out. I mean, I don't know where he... I can tell you writers that I like. I don't know if they get as in games and not the media. Like, I don't know what he means by that. Chris? Tony?
I told you before. I saw this before and I didn't understand it.
Yeah, like, he must have something in mind. What he means by that.
One with
maybe these. Like, who do you think gets writing for games in the industry?
Maybe means like, who do you think is good writer? He's saying
like, who's the best like game writers? Not media writers, but like game writers, maybe.
Hmm.
I guess that's
you mean like a writer as opposed to like a game personality, sure. Like Miller?
Right. Yeah, exactly. I think he's asking, like, who's the best, like, yeah, who understands the best way to tell a story in-game?
Who understands writing as opposed to being a media personality? Like, is that what he means? Anybody?
Bueller?
So Bueller?
let's move on.
To a question we understand.
Yeah, and maybe Earl can explain to us sometime between now and next week what he meant, and we can answer it then.
I will just throw out, I really enjoy Jim Sterling's reviews when I read them. Anyways.
I mean, I really like Arthur Geese's reviews. I never agree with his conclusion, but they're really well written.
I like his reviews, too. Other than that, I mean, I don't know where he was going with it, but I like both. I think both those guys are excellent writers. So, finally from Brian, he actually sent us a non-sarcastic question for once. What's your most anticipated game this fall? And if it's multi-platform, which console are you getting it on?
Hmm.
I already have every most anticipated game from this fall already.
Yeah, right. GTA.
I mean, GTA, Rome Total War, EU4, like, I have them all.
Yeah, mine for me was GTA. I don't know about going forward, though. Do you guys have any, like one that sticks out, or? I kind of lean Mario.
I'm very excited. Zelda as well.
Yeah, I'm excited for Zelda too. If it was on Wii U, I'd be more excited. That's the thing. Really?
Six?
That's yours? Like, that's your number one?
No, I don't know. I can't even think off the top of my head. Probably Assassin's Creed 4 at this point, to be perfectly honest. It actually, a lot of people are saying good things about it recently.
I want to play Batman. I'm not, like, super excited for it, though.
So you don't have one that you're like, yeah, I can't wait for that. I think a lot of them have it for me.
Mario is probably it. Like, out of, like, if I had, out of all the games I'm going to get between now and the end of the year, I had to pick one, that would be it.
What, Batman?
No, Mario.
Fuck yeah. Game of the year, baby.
Wait, did you guys hear me? Because you guys kind of cut out for a second there.
You said Assassin's Creed 4, right?
Oh, yeah.
It seems like when they announced that people's thoughts on it were a little bit negative, but that seems to have turned recently. I'm hearing more excitement for it. What I'm surprised that I'm not interested in, though, is Battlefield 4.
That you're not interested in?
Yeah. I mean, I like competitive shooters. I don't know. If I had to choose, you know, between Call of Duty and Battlefield 4, Call of Duty actually sounds like might be more fun to just jump in and play. Battlefield sounds broken on this gen's consoles.
Right.
Like
it's always broken. It's so hard to get excited about Battlefield because you're like, well, I know I'm not going to be able to play it for a week.
Yeah.
Have you seen Bat Ship Battles though? It's tight.
I don't know. Foz, accept my invite. Accept it, Tim.
I sent it to you.
I think so.
Huh?
What?
I just sent you an invite.
Oh, you did?
Come to me.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm getting any multi-platform games right away.
I would have gotten Watch Dogs. Like, that would
It's canceled, so.
Right. Like, that's, I'm getting Rise, and I don't know what I'm getting after that, but probably some sports games, because there's really not a whole lot else there that I'm really, like, thrilled about.
It's pretty funny, though. It sounds like none of y'all are, like, really excited for anything.
I'm excited for Forza. I'm excited for Rise, and I'm excited for Dead Rising, but they're all on Xbox One. The PS4 is the one that's kind of like has me a little sketchy because.
Well, he didn't say it has to be. You know, it doesn't have to be multi-platform. He's saying, what's your most interesting game, and you know.
Well, I mean, every time a Mario game comes out, that's
Mario.
I'm gonna lean that way.
So. It's gonna be magical.
Is it?
It's the team that made Galaxy and 3D Land.
Wait, are you talking about the one with the cats that's coming out this winter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same day that Xbox One launches.
There we go.
I heard good things about that, so.
It's gonna be good. I mean, dude, they've never ever put out bad Mario.
Like, a lot of people are like, oh, it's just
fine.
3D Land, but on the Wii, the Wii U, but that's not what I've been hearing recently. Like, it's more.
I mean, I've seen footage of it. Like, some footage looks kind of like Galaxy at points, you know? Like, it looks like it's just Mario mashup, which is awesome. Get excited.
I don't know. I'm skeptical. I'm a skeptic.
The only bad Mario game they've put out in forever is the 3DS one, which wasn't even bad. It was just, you know.
3D Land? Oh, no. Super Mario.
The 2D one, New Super Mario Bros. 2. It was like, I thought it was pretty weak, but I mean, even that.
Yeah, on the 3DS.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was not a huge fan of that.
It's like, even then, though, it wasn't like a bad game or anything. Like, it was just very bland, you know?
Slightly uninspired.
Yeah.
Tony, did you answer Setamix's question?
What game am I excited for?
No, he asked you about Endless Space.
Oh, I did not see his question.
So all right, here's the question that he asked. And you might want to actually answer him on Twitter, but we'll ask it here. He's tempted by the fact that Endless Space is Steam's daily deal. Does he bite?
How much is it?
He wants to ask you because you're the expert.
Endless Space is a pretty good game.
$7.50.
$7.50 is a fantastic price.
Oh, yeah.
I would jump all over that.
Yeah. I paid $30 for that game, and I still got a good amount.
$7.50 for the Emperor Edition, whatever that means.
Yeah.
The Emperor Edition is, like, you know, it's got all the DLC and all that crap.
Ah, so it's like the Game of the Year Edition, but not Game of the Year.
It's Emperor.
It wasn't the Game of the Year. It wasn't anybody's Game of the Year.
Easy.
I'm sure somebody's
maybe
all over that.
It's a pretty cool game.
You should tell them that on Twitter.
But yes, you should buy that because it's worth it.
Is that it? We got anything else?
Yeah, I didn't get anything. Did I?
No. I got nothing for you, man.
Oh. Gigawatt just asked me, how is Ellen Page's Ghost Hour? we talked about that though, so it's different.
It's the worst.
I wouldn't say it's the worst.
It's worth $15.
You know what's the worst though is on the back of Beyond Two Souls' box, there's a picture of Willem Dafoe looking super creepy.
That's the worst.
Yeah, that's the worst.
He's creepy to begin
with. Yeah, he's a creepy dude, but he looks extra creepy. Like, it's like digital Willem Dafoe with super creepy look.
How can you make him creepier than he already is?
Before we leave, Jeff, did you hear that? Tomorrow morning, but when this show posts, which won't be in the morning, but Sonic Lost World reviews will be hitting.
Ooh. I'm gonna buy it either way. I don't think it comes out for a while though. I think it got delayed.
Did it? I thought it was end of October.
It was supposed to come out Tuesday, I think. Hold on, let me pull my calendar here. Yeah, it was supposed to come out October 22nd, Tuesday. Hmm. It's delayed to the 29th. Like, I was looking this up the other day because I'm looking forward to it. Like, I was all excited and I wanted to be able. I was also worried about finishing up Zelda and this and that.
So it was
delayed a week.
It was pushed a week to like. The biggest day in October.
Yeah, like
that's also when Batman comes out, and
yeah, it's like pretty dumb that they moved it to that week. But
when does Need for Speed come out?
Don't know. It's not Criterion. It doesn't matter.
Criterion isn't Criterion anymore. So we talked about that.
Makes me a little sad. Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, dude. Well. That's weird. So we'll see reviews of Sonic tomorrow. I expect them to be favorable. 7+.
Hey, I mean,
4.
I think
4.5 like, maybe.
It's by the team that did Generations, right?
I read an interview about it the other day. All right. So first off, let me put this out there. The last like two Sonic games have been quite good. So that whole notion that Sonic games suck since forever is not correct anymore. Secondly, it was the team that did Sonic Colors, once they were done doing Sonic Colors, they started work on Sonic Lost World. And then when the team from Sonic Generations were done, they came in and added to it. And,
okay,
you know,
so it's both teams together.
It's both teams. You know, the concept is from Sonic Colors, which kind of shows in the like trailers and stuff. It looks like Mario Galaxy. But I think it's going to be pretty damn solid. I hope. I mean, Sonic Generations, to me, is a great platformer. So
I thought Generations was really good. I thought the 2D stuff better than the 3D stuff. But
yeah, but the 3D was fine. It wasn't broken. Or
yeah,
anything.
It was okay.
They figured out how to make Sonic work nowadays. I hope they kind of stick with what
they know.
I hope they don't fuck it up. Like, they could easily fuck it up. I mean... Look at like lots of previous Sonic games.
I don't. Is this the one though that, you know, as you said, the last two Sonic games were actually pretty good. Is this the one that like kind of determines whether Sonic is a viable property anymore? Do people care about Sonic?
I don't know if it determines whether it's viable. I think Sonic is viable. I mean, I think those games like sell enough somehow. Like, you know, kids or whoever buys them, Sonic fans. But whether it's, you know, whether it's a platformer that's worth caring about anymore, I think, you know, a little bit rests on this one. I mean, the last two have been pretty damn good, but were they like flashes in the pan or whatever, you know what I mean?
Right.
We'll see. I mean, I have high hopes. Like, it's definitely, like, up there for me as, like, one of my more anticipated games, so.
Alright.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it. We'll be back next week. I don't know what comes out next week.
Pokemon.
That's already out, but you can talk more about it if you want. Lego Marvel, I think, comes out next week. I think it's next week.
Yeah.
That's a big game.
Oh,
right?
Sweet. I can buy a micro SMG. Yeah.
What level are you guys in GTA Online now?
5.
Yeah, I'm level 5 now.
Okay.
You jealous?
No.
Fucking Napo still hasn't sent me an invite because he's an app.
I sent you an invite and you didn't accept it.
You did not do anything of that sort.
Well, these two married individuals will continue their fight, and we'll be back next week. Say goodnight, Jeff.
I could go watch Donkey Porn now?
Yeah, sure.